The Drives podcast is presented by Disability Advantage Group. Need help applying for Social Security, disability benefits? One call does it all. Call Disability Advantage Group at 865-566-0800 or visit dag-us.com.
It's time for The Drives Top 4 at 4.
Hour number two of The Drive underway here on Fan Run Radio. The Top 4 at 4 brought to you this afternoon by our friends at Knoxville Smiles. Schedule your free smile consultation today at KnoxvilleSmiles.com. Jake Lester is in with the Top 4 at 4. Hello, Jake.
Hey, Russell. We got number one. Three Tennessee football players were awarded scholarships by head coach Jeremy Pruitt at the conclusion of Monday's practice. A tweet from the Vols' official Twitter account yesterday evening showed Pruitt addressing the team after practice, revealing three players, cornerback Kenny Solomon, defensive back Quazi Garland, and wide receiver Isaiah Montgomery, had all earned scholarships. All three players are freshmen who have played this season.
The Garland kid is the younger brother of Karat.
Correct.
Garland from Conyers, Georgia, and which is kind of weird because Karat is a big 300-pound defensive lineman. Then I guess the younger brother's a DB.
Yep, DB.
So I guess some different body types right there. Then Montgomery is interesting. He comes here as a preferred walk-on. I think he's from Alabama too. I want to say he's a little guy, like 5'10", but they say he can fly. So, you know, you take a flyer on some of these dudes and bring them in as the preferred walk-ons, which is something. I mean, we got to find players, and you do it however you can, and hopefully these guys work out. If you're giving them scholarships as freshmen, that's probably a pretty good indicator that the coaches think they have long-term potential here.
Most definitely. Number two. Alabama freshman cornerback Scooby Carter has entered his name into the transfer portal per his tweet yesterday. Carter was a four-star prospect out of Mansfield, Texas Legacy High School, and he suited up for three games with the Tide, recording one tackle against New Mexico State on September 7th.
Yeah, I saw a lot of Tennessee fans speculating whether or not Jeremy Pruitt would try to make a move there. He was pretty highly touted, really fast guy. I do wonder, though, and you know, maybe we will, maybe we won't. I have no idea, no inside information here. But I'm just always skeptical. This kid was committed to three different schools before he signs with Alabama. And then he bails on Alabama before the first season. Like, he hadn't even been there a year. And he bails now. It just makes you wonder what's going on. Worked out for us with Alvin Kamara. But I always wonder, man, when a kid flips his commitment several times like that, it's like, man, how is there a maturity issue there, would be my question.
Number three, LSU linebacker Michael Divinity returned to practice on Monday, 2 weeks after leaving the team for what Coach O described at the time as personal reasons. Divinity's status on the team is unclear, however. Orgeron is not scheduled to address the media until Wednesday, and his return comes on the heels of an LSU win over Ole Miss in which the defense gave up 600 yards of offense, including more than 200 yards and four touchdowns from quarterback John Reese Plumley. At the time Divinity left the team before the Bama game, he had 23 tackles in eight games and led the team with three sacks.
Telling you, man, I still think that LSU defense is a little bit suspect.
I don't know that. You keep saying that, but
I don't know that Georgia has enough to expose it, but they're going to play a team in the playoff that is going to be able to score with them.
I think it'd be fun to watch right now Clemson and Ohio State. They're both explosive on offense.
With LSU? Yeah. Either one? I mean, it would be
– even Oklahoma.
Be a big-time matchup for sure. It's a weird story, that dude. Just like, do you think he was just suspended quietly, or do you think he had – like a family issue that he legitimately had to tend to away from the team?
Well, I think if he got suspended, they wouldn't just suspend him for Bama, the biggest game of the season, and Ole Miss, because, you know, this guy's really good. He was the team leader on defense. So that makes me think maybe it was a family thing, but then again, maybe they just wanted to hand down a suspension that actually meant something instead of the Ohio State kid that gets suspended for Rutgers in Maryland.
That doesn't seem like the Ed Orgeron I know. The Coach O I know would do exactly what Ohio State did.
Well, see, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
is that's it, why I think it's a family issue rather than
– okay.
Because, I mean, it's the biggest game of the season for them.
Yep.
And he was like their Daniel Batuli.
Yep.
Anyways, number four. Today is the 15-year anniversary of one of the most famous sports brawls of all time, the Malice at the Palace, where Ben Wallace and Ron Artest got into a scuffle that cleared both benches but was sorted out until a fan threw a drink on Ron Artest, and then all hell broke loose.
15 years ago today, it doesn't seem like it's been that long. Where does the time go? The Malice at the Palace. That was a period when...
I can't believe it's been that long. Cody McClure claims to have been there.
Cody McClure was at the Malice.
That's what he said
Palace.
on Talk Sports with him and John earlier and Cam.
Really?
When I was on my way in, do you not listen to those guys? Great show.
I do listen, but I was probably here at that time.
No, it was right before you pulled down the driveway.
I don't know what I was doing, but I'm sure it was a legitimate distraction from Talk Sports. It was during a time when I just wasn't paying a lot of attention to the NBA, and you see something like that, and it turns you off, man. It was, you know, a legitimately bad scene up there.
It turns you off?
Yeah. Fans and players brawling with each other and disrupting a game.
Hilarious.
Nah, I don't. You thought it was hilarious?
Yeah, I thought it was awesome. You said it on a break earlier. Coach O, the Big O, got in. We had a lot of FaceTime in that. O'Neal.
Oh, yeah.
K-O.
Yeah, he was there. Last seen clinging Jeff Van Gundy-like to Jermaine O'Neal's leg, I believe.
I got to feel like O'Neal's got or Jermaine's got a lot more respect for Coach O'Neal than the other guy had for the Gundy.
Where's the KO at, man? What's
I have
he doing
no
now? Is
idea.
He out of basketball?
I'm not sure. The last time I heard him, somebody was interviewing him, and he was giving his comments on the guy that worked for Tindall that sold him out.
Oh, who was that guy?
I don't know.
A little rat-looking dude.
Oh, Coach O'Neal.
Adam Howard, maybe?
Coach O'Neal went all in on him.
On the dude for ratting out Tindall?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you could make the argument, like, if that dude hadn't ratted out Tindall and, like, he had stuck around here that...
Oh, we'd have gotten detonated.
We would have gotten detonated, and we wouldn't have Rick Barnes. So, really, that guy, like, we ought to send him a thank you. What we find that guy, was it Adam Howard? It was, like, Tindall's lead assistant. He was...
Well, there was two was of them, actually.
Tindall was sending this dude to take the ACT for kids. Like, he was literally going around taking the standardized tests for these dudes. That is a Kevin O'Neal take. Like, just totally... Blame the messenger. Blame the guy who the whistleblower instead of the actual guy over the that is a total Kevin O'Neal. And I love Kevin O'Neal, but
I love Johnny Tindall. Worst cheater ever, but
complete psycho.
I mean, you know, he's about as bad as my little brother was back when we used to play Monopoly at cheating. He just couldn't stop getting caught.
O'Neal and Tindall should coach together, man. That would be awesome. Do a reality show on it.
Did you see that shot of Tindall, wherever he is, they were playing Admiral, and I guess it was in G League.
It's good to see, man.
And they had a moment.
Do you think Admiral Schofield would have made it as far as he has if Tindall had been his coach?
That's a good question.
Never know.
I don't know, because early on in his career, he was – Admiral – had to do a lot of growing up when he got here.
Feels like Rick Barnes was the best thing to ever happen to Admiral Schofield.
Yeah.
Feels like he probably wouldn't have panned out the way he did if he hadn't had
it. Like, you know, he had a second father figure outside of his own dad.
Thank you, Jake. The Top 4 at 4 is brought to you by our friends at Knoxville Smiles. As I said, you can call up today and get your free consultation set up. Just go online to KnoxvilleSmiles.com for that phone number. Knoxville Smiles, you're going to be treated as more than just a customer, more than just a patient. You're going to be treated as an individual who needs a specific game plan. Your mouth is different from my mouth, from Bear's mouth, from Jake's mouth. Everybody's got their own thing going on there, and you need your own plan. going on there. That's what you get at Knoxville Smiles, man. That attention to detail, that one-on-one service, that one-on-one relationship is what really sets them apart. Dr. Stephen Malone and Dr. Michael Costa at Knoxville Smiles, they'll fix you up, man. They will set that game plan in motion for you so that you can get your teeth in better condition or keep your teeth in the good condition that hopefully you already enjoy. Again, set up your free, no-risk consultation today by going online to KnoxvilleSmiles.com. That's KnoxvilleSmiles.com. Let's talk to Titans Bill. Good afternoon, Titans Bill. You're on the drive, Fan Run Radio.
Dubsy and Bear, how are you two doing?
Outstanding. Spectacular. How are you, sir?
I'm doing all right. But I believe Nick Saban's empire is crumbling.
Think so?
I believe so. And I'm going to predict he's going to lose to Auburn.
Ooh. I don't know if it's crumbling, but I do think it's peaked. And I do think I said after the LSU game, if you go back and watch his press conference after that game, he seemed a lot different from like when we've seen Saban lose regular season games, big games like that in the past, he's very defiant and like, you know, combative towards his team. It's like, oh, you know, it's on us as coaches and players didn't do a good enough job and we got to get it fixed, all this stuff. And he was very much laid back about it. He was like, well, you know, our hat's off to LSU and I'm really proud of our team for fighting back. And it just seemed very un-Saban to me. So I'm kind of with you, Tides Bill. I wonder if he's losing his fastball a little bit here.
And, well, you know, the one thing that really makes me mad about high school recruiting is front running. These top prospects are going, well, you know, Alabama, man, they won the national championship. They've dominated. I think I want a little piece of the action here. I'm going to sign with Alabama.
Roll down tide.
And I still believe that they're doing some illegal things like the boosters is giving them $100 bills.
No.
Or $200 bills.
No.
Or $300 bills.
No.
To sign with Alabama. $300 bills?
Yeah, Bill, they don't.
Illegal recruiting, and the president of the NCAA is afraid of Nick Saban. And I'm referring to Mark Emmert, who is a punk and a clown.
I mean, Bill, they don't hide it.
Of the NCAA, then I'm Woody Woodpecker. Did you like that, Dubsy and Bear?
Yeah. Let's see if you could do it one more time.
You want me to?
Perfect.
Tides, Bill, you're a nut, man. You're a nut.
I know, I mean,
Bill, they don't even try and hide it. Somebody on social media, I think it's been a couple of years ago, had screen grabbed pictures of all the big-time Alabama running backs and recruits that have come through there in the past few years. It was probably like 40 or 50 of them, and animated just the pictures of them standing in front of a variety of $70,000 to $80,000 muscle cars that they get as soon as they hit campus down there. I mean, they don't hide it. I mean, they're brazen about it.
Do you think, though, it's one of those things that it's almost like the situation here in Knoxville, where we were talking about the Powell thing last week. And a lot of people were saying, look, man, they got turned in by two schools here in town and maybe more than that. Maybe if you live in a glass house, don't throw rocks type of thing. Like,
yeah, maybe. But, Russell, there's a big difference between it takes a real clod if they were really doing that, talking to opposing team players in the handshake line. But when you're talking about just openly, you know, tens of thousands of dollars and sports cars and all that, you know, at some point, Uncle Sam's going to come looking for his cut. He wants the taxes on it.
So you think Alabama is more egregious?
Matt Lowe at Powell High School? Yes, I do.
Well, no, yes, I'm not I'm not comparing Alabama to Powell High School. I'm just asking, like, do you think we're cheating? Do you think Georgia's cheating? Do you think Florida's cheating? Do you when I say cheating, I mean, like,
yeah, but we have to hide it better. I don't know that we're doing it to the extent they're doing it.
I feel Clemson's cheating.
Oh, I know. You know they are. That's who I'm beginning to work a pretty good hatred up for them. They've stolen our program. They stole our mojo. They're Dr. Evil.
Well, let's send Trey Wallace over and do some investigative reporting. That's the thing that always bugs me about the Alabama stuff. It's like if people say, okay, they've got some cozy relationship. You know the narrative. They've got some cozy relationship with a Dodge dealership or something in Tuscaloosa. Is that the gist of it, Bear?
Yeah, it's Greater Tuscaloosa Chrysler Dodge.
Okay, so we even know the dealership. Why isn't anybody like that? That seems like something, and I'm no—
Who's going to break that story down there?
Well,
like, and they've got some guys that I really respect, but, I mean, they have to live down there.
Like, if you're Pruitt or— and Fulber basically did this in around 2000, right? It's like you get one of your guys—
It wasn't just Fulmer. That's the funny part about it is old Superior, Steve Spurrier, he was right there with Fulmer.
Yeah, but Fulmer actually like put a tape recorder on somebody and like went in there and taped a guy, right?
Pretty sure, but I mean,
why don't we? That's why he's like, a captain. If it's really that egregious and Alabama is really doing stuff that's beyond the pale, why don't we send somebody? One of these 247 guys or a new Sentinel guy. Why did Pruitt or somebody or Fulmer on the quiet like pull somebody aside, one of these journalists they know, and say, hey, here's what's going on. Go down there, talk to this guy, this guy, this guy, and write a story about it.
And Dubsy, isn't Emmert battling the University of Memphis over a player? This Wiseman person?
Yeah,
I don't think there's so much battling it as I really feel like Memphis blinked.
It's getting ugly.
Say, man, Emmert, put his hide to the wall. Take him to court.
Tides, Bill, we got to run, man. Good to hear from you.
Take care.
Stay with us. For the kids who don't know, Woody Woodpecker was a cartoon back in the day. Oh, Woody got himself into all sorts of wacky hijinks. Look it up. It's on YouTube, probably. Back with more after this.
The Drives podcast is presented by Disability Advantage Group. Need help applying for Social Security disability benefits? One call does it all. Call Disability Advantage Group today at 865-566-0800. Applying for disability can be very tedious. Having an experienced attorney on your side makes it easy. Call Disability Advantage Group, 865-566-0800, or visit online at dag-us.com.
All about the process. This is The Drive.
Back here on The Drive, Fan Run Radio, Russell, Bear, and Jake cruising with you, Tuesday afternoon edition of the show. Trey's at practice. He'll be calling in with the Kregner Group Rocky Top Report as soon as it's over. TJ Moe, the former Missouri wide receiver, St. Louis area talk show host, going to join us here in about 10, 15 minutes to give us a little bit of the Mizzou perspective on what the heck is going on with the Missouri Tigers, man. Like, what team are we going to see up there Saturday? Who knows, man? The team that looked pretty good and blowing out some teams earlier this year, the team that's pretty much non-competitive the past 2 weeks against Florida and Georgia and really even against Kentucky and lost at Vanderbilt. So we'll talk to him here in just a minute. Let's get John Tweet in here.
Hold on, real quick.
Yeah,
we forgot something.
Yeah,
on behalf of Russell, Jake, and Trey, the Drive would like to wish Titanic Oilers Bill, yeah, a happy 66th birthday.
Oh, really?
Happy birthday, Bill.
Titans Bill. Well done, sir.
Happy birthday, Bill.
And they said he wouldn't last 66?
Yeah. Yeah.
You think he got the early Social Security, or do you think he's waiting until 67 to cash in on full?
I have no idea. We can ask him next time he calls.
Yeah. See how that goes.
Yeah. It's a good John tweet.
You think that's going to be left over at all by the time like we're 65?
Hell no.
No? You don't think anybody's going to say that? That pisses me off, man. Can I get on a political soapbox for just a second?
Absolutely.
Can I jump up there?
The boomers.
Since it's...
Everybody likes to bash the millennials. Last time I checked, the millennial generation fought the war on terror. Okay?
Well, the whole generation did. Maybe like 1% of them did.
Yeah, it's a good portion of millennials.
I don't know if you call, but like the boomers, like well, the they fought a war.
What did they do other than screw things up for us?
Well, they got thrown into the jungles of Vietnam to do hand to hand with Jackie Chan. Yeah, you'd be a little screwed up too.
I'm just saying, it's the only blemish on our record.
Wow. I don't even know what I was going to say. Oh, yeah, the Social Security thing. You see all these guys talking. Trump, Bush, Obama, all of them. None of them talk about, like, I guess Bush tried to, but like that went away for a minute. Like, fix Social Security so, like, you and I actually get something so we're not sitting here. Can you imagine? We'll do this when we're 70?
Yeah.
We're going to say, when are we going to beat Florida? I don't want to do that. I want to retire, man. We take care of our old folks. Money's all going to be gone. And nobody says anything about it.
No.
It's all, I mean, it's all important stuff, too. But this is important, too. And nobody's talking about the fact that Social Security's going bankrupt.
We broke for the next 100 years.
It's an outrage.
It's a vinyl now.
Let's get John Tweet in here. Get off my soapbox. Feels better. Good afternoon, Tweet. You're on The Drive, Fan Run Radio.
Dubsy.
Yes.
Sure hope you're not relying on the government to support you by the time you're old.
I mean, a little. I'm not relying completely on them, but it's kind of like a three-pronged approach for me. Like, you know, my wife works in the schools, so we get a little something from there. My kids, hopefully, will be much better off than I am, so I get a little support there. And then the government should be the third leg. Yeah, I'd like a little bit of something. What have I been taking? What have I been paying taxes on these past 20 years, man?
You just want back what you've put in.
Exactly. Exactly. A little return on my investment.
What your employers put in, just what you put
in. Have you guys ever gotten the printout of like? It comes from the government of like what all you've put, like a summary of what all you've paid in during your working life.
Well, is it just you or is it you and your employer? Is your employer, you pay half and your employer.
No, it's just what myself personally have paid
in. It comes
in
each tax year, doesn't it?
I don't know. Yeah. Like I saw one, I was in between jobs and got it, and I was like gobsmacked at how much money I'd spent in.
You'll get it back there, don't worry. You can trust the government. If you can't trust the government, who can?
DTA,
you trust?
John Tweet, I don't trust anybody. Russ, sometimes. My money or my life.
How is Uncle Sam going to come looking for taxes on a car they already received when you purchase it? So I'm not sure how Tennessee is, but in Virginia you have a titling tax and you pay it one time.
Because the people, you can't get a gift of that type of value without...
Well, who's to say it's a gift? What if the person's paying for it?
Then it would loan, be a purchase that big would
that seems to be against the first big rule of Bagman 101, right? Is never do anything that leaves a paper trail.
By vehicles have a definite paper trail.
How are they lease on a car?
They're going to have to explain
whatever it wants to sell it for.
Here's the problem: they're going to have to explain where they got the $7,000, $8,000 for the down payment on a lease. They're going to have to prove that.
The dealership doesn't even have to report it.
You can't tell me, John, that an 18-year-old kid, some of whom come from, I'm not saying a majority, but a good number of them come from, not the greatest financial position. And how's an 18-year-old kid carrying the debt load, even on a leased, $80,000 car? If we sent Jake Lester into, U.S. Motor Company over there on Kingston Pike next to Bearden, and he rolled in there and found him found a used Maserati for like $80,000. They're going to laugh him out of there because they know he's 18, 19, and can't carry the debt load.
There, and then I just let you drive it, and then you take pictures of it. I mean,
I mean, that's still brazen, John.
But it's what
you know why nobody's going to blow the whistle because they're doing it too.
That's what T. Martin got in trouble for back in the day. You remember that?
Yeah, it got ugly with Trey and his mobile people.
It was there was a lady down there. Her name was Diane Sanford. I don't know why I remember that because I'm an idiot, and that's the kind of stuff that's in my brain. And she was a booster. She was a financial supporter of the University of Tennessee, but T had to prove, and I mean, it was super sketchy as per the rules, but he had to prove that like she had bought him this, like he had known her since he was like a junior in high school before he became an elite prospect. And it was total garbage, but like we got away with it somehow.
I'm reading this Wolf of Wall Street book. There's always plausible deny. They got it all down. I mean, come on now.
It's like,
you really care about a car?
Did you guys read the thing, the transcripts of Penny Hardaway's interview with the TSSAA that came out in the Memphis Commercial Appeal last week?
That's got to be beautiful.
Oh, it's hysterical. It's absolutely hysterical.
Does he have any kind of grip with reality on what the rules are?
Well, he's just the TSSAA investigator is asking him, like, did you give this money? He's like, yeah. He's like, did you know that's against TSSAA rules? He's like, nope. She's like, well, you're a high school basketball coach. Have you read the rule book? Nope. He's like, why not? He's like, I just didn't. It's just like,
he knew it was against the rules.
Yeah, but he can't say that.
He knew going up to Ensworth and getting James Wiseman and paying his family $11.5 to come down there to Memphis to play at Memphis East was against the rules.
So you got this bizarre situation where he's lying to the TSSAA. The TSSAA knows that he's lying to them. He knows that they know that he's lying to them. And they know that he knows that they know that he knows that they're lying. Like, it's just this completely...
Then they took the NCAA to court, and the one time NCAA was, I think they must have told him, look, you're not going to the tournament. Your games aren't going to count. And then we're going to hammer you.
Or maybe he finds a way to.
It's going to happen to anybody in college basketball. Kansas is going to do, UNC's done what they're going to do. Duke's going to do what they're going to do. So, and nobody's going to say anything about it. So you better get to cheating. Because if you ain't cheating, you ain't trying.
Tweet, we got to run, man. Anything else?
See ya. All
right, appreciate it. Let's get a quick break here. We'll get TJ Moe from St. Louis, the former Missouri wide receiver, in here with us. Get a little bit of the Mizzou flavor. Coming up next on The Drive, it's Fan Run Radio, 105.7 FM, 1340 AM, online at fanrunradio.com and your free Fan Run app. Stay with us. The Drive continues next.
East Tennessee's premier sports radio call-in show. This is The Drive.
It's Taco Tuesday over at Qdoba Mexican Eats. Go over there, get yourself a couple of the knockout tacos, $2.50 each all day, Taco Tuesday. The thing you got to love about Qdoba, free queso and guac. Go down there and hook it up, man. They got a couple of other things. You get a classic burrito, you get a bowl. I'm a big bowl guy. I'm telling you, those knockout tacos, man, can't go wrong, especially when you get them on special. Taco Tuesday, loaded tortilla soup. Always good on a cold winter day. Got the three cheese nachos piled high with toppings and queso. They got the brisket keto bowl. They've got the, if you are watching your girlish figure, they do have the, what do they call it, the impossible meat. It's like tofu. It's like meat. It's meatless
soy
meat.
Soy product.
Yeah. It's like, I don't know. Like
those hamburgers we ate when we were kids at school. Those things weren't meat. You know that, right?
I don't know that. Really?
That's what I always told. They're like soy-based.
They weren't any good, I know that.
Put enough ketchup and mustard on them, they were.
That's another thing. The school lunches in this country, actually, they're probably a lot better than they were back when. I'm ready to get on a soapbox, man. I'm ready. Yeah, Qdoba's over there, 7339 Kingston Pike, across from the Gallery Shopping Center. and Westtown Mall. You go check them out. Taco Tuesday. Tell them The Drive sent you. Did you have something you wanted to drop in quickly, Jake?
Yeah, I was just going to say that the school lunches today are no better than they
better.
Used to
okay.
be.
No better? Okay.
And that
They're worse.
Is getting sued over this Impossible meat.
Well, we'll get back to that later in the show.
Hold that thought, maybe for the docket coming up here a little bit later. Let's get T.J. Moe in here, though. He's a former Missouri wide receiver. He now does radio 590 The Fan in St. Louis. T.J., good afternoon, sir. How are you?
What's going on, boys? How are you?
Hey, man, we're doing well. Getting ready for Tennessee and Missouri Saturday night up there in Columbia. And obviously, you're close to the situation there. What's going on with Missouri? Which Missouri team is Tennessee most likely to encounter Saturday night?
Yeah, it's a great question. Missouri has not shown the ability to run the ball, to pass the ball. There was no offensive pulse since they walked off the field after beating Ole Miss. There's no explanation. You guys are well aware of Derek Dooley down there. Derek Dooley was great in Columbia for about a year and a half. Seriously, he was really good last year, and he was not, I shouldn't say great this year, he was pretty good. The offense was it was good against Wyoming. It was good against Ole Miss. It did plenty against South Carolina. And it's South Carolina and Ole Miss aren't great teams, but they're both better than Vanderbilt and Kentucky. And Missouri could not hardly muster a first down against those guys. I don't have the slightest explanation to why things have fallen apart, but this is one of the more undisciplined teams that Missouri has put on the field as far as personal fouls. And things like that. I mean, they had three penalties on one play last weekend. I don't think I've ever seen that.
Yeah, well, I mean, we watched 3 years of Derek Dooley football, so we probably have. But it seemed like he was on the career rehab. It seemed like he was on the career rehab rehabilitation track. A couple of, like you said early there. Now all of a sudden, is he going to be the scapegoat for what's gone wrong at Mizzou?
It could happen, but we certainly would not rule that out. Look, there are two.
Tell
you what, TJ, I'm gonna go ahead and hang up, but I'm gonna try you back real quick.
All right, we lost TJ Moe there. I'll try and get him back. He's with 590 The Fan in St. Louis, and you can follow him on Twitter at TJ Moe. 28, former Missouri wide receiver, played for a minute in the NFL, the Patriots as well. And, yeah, you know, I thought that Derek Dooley, if he went there and just kind of played his cards right, that he might get another shot at being a head coach somewhere. Maybe not an SEC school. Maybe if it went really well. Obviously, that's not going to happen for him. But I thought, you know, he might be able to get back into one of those Conference USA gigs like he had at Louisiana Tech. And it looked like he was on that way. Of course, he had Drew Locke last year. Then you think, okay, he gets Kelly Bryant. That's going to be a good situation for him. And it just seems to be completely bottoming out there for him. TJ, do we have you back now?
Yeah, sorry, boys. It just said call drops. I'm not sure what that is about. Anyway, what I was getting at, you asked me if Derek Dooley is going to be the scapegoat.
Yeah.
His game plans, honestly, like I said, I thought he was really good in year one. He was pretty good, to even borderline very good in the first few weeks. There was a stat Brett McMurphy had been tweeting out. Most consecutive games scoring at least 30 points, and Missouri was second behind Oklahoma. That is where they were in the Derek Dooley tenure from, you know, the back half of all of last year into this year. It was like 13 or 18, something like that. They can't muster a first down right now. And yeah, so it's more than just Derek Dooley. But Derek Dooley is not helping his case. The play calling has been bad. The game plan's been bad. If you guys watched the game against Kentucky, he threw the ball 800 times, and it was a torrential downpour. And so Missouri's receivers right now are the three of their the top three SEC pass catchers in drop percentage all play for Missouri. And if you took out the Kentucky game, they'd probably be on par with everybody else. But against Kentucky, they all dropped three or four passes because he kept trying to throw in what was a downpour. So things like that. Game plan has been rough. Last week, Larry Roundtree was, you know, I think he had 4.6 maybe something yards per carry, and he only touched the ball seven times. You know, it's like you're like, all right, the offensive line has been struggling. Kelly Bryant had been out with a hamstring. He missed all of the week against Georgia and came back and tried to play against Florida, so you probably want to run the ball. No. They ran 50 pass plays and had 14 designed runs. So you go through all that stuff and you're going, what the hell is he seeing that I'm not seeing? And what he's been doing here has certainly not helped. He was quoting an old quote. It's a Rodney Atkins song. When you're going through hell, keep on moving. That's where he said Missouri is in football hell right now offensively.
That sounds like something Dooley. Yeah, he likes to quote things. Yeah, and bring up obscure references. And that's.
I mean, the weird part about his tenure here, he, you know, when he was here, we had some of the most all-time prolific offenses, but we couldn't tackle a Pop Warner team. Our defense was horrible.
You guys tackled me a few times. I remember that, 2012. I'm with you. And look, the receiver, it's hard not to be good with Tyler Hunter and Bray and Cordell Patterson and those guys. Some of that was just toss it up to the big boys and they'll go make a play for you. But I'm with you. Look, you got Chaney back there now, so he was as big a part of that as Dooley was. I can't tell you why. I know this. Missouri's had one of the top offensive lines in the SEC each of the last 3 years. In this season, it may be the worst. A guy, Trevor Sims Wallace, I don't know. He added a third name a couple years ago, and I can't remember which one goes first. He was first team all SEC last year. This year, they moved him to the other guard. I'm sure there was a reason for it. And he's terrible. Like legitimately may have played himself out of the NFL with what he's put on film this year. So the offensive line has fallen apart. Brad Davis, who was the offensive line coach at Florida a few years ago, and when that staff was fired, he came over to Missouri. And it just, whatever they're doing, it's not working. They're undisciplined. Kelly Bryant will not stay in the pocket and throw the ball downfield. I mean, Jonathan Nance, a transfer from Arkansas, if you guys have ever been to practices, you see that if they have a play that they really know is going to work, for instance, if you have a really aggressive safety that is going to bite on a dig route, and he does it every time and he's trying to take your head off, well, what you do is you give a little dig and go, and you give him the double move. And they did that against a Florida safety, and Jonathan Nance was open by 4 or 5 yards. I mean, he was open by a mile. And Kelly Bryant didn't have time and also didn't stick in the pocket. It was one of those times where if he had just let it fly, they'd have completed the pass. He rolled out to the right, and they took a 2-yard loss. And that has been happening over and over and over again. They can't get the ball downfield. The running backs aren't breaking tackles to get out and have, you know, 20, 30, 40-yard plays. It truly is one of the more peculiar things that I've seen as a Missouri fan during my life, where going from a really good offense last year to a pretty to very good offense this year to rivaling the worst Missouri offense I've ever seen over the last 4 games.
TJ, we were reading some comments on the Athletic and some of the stories on Missouri football, and just reading that from out of the weekend, and they were all universally, let's say all of them, I mean all of them, like 99% were about Barry Odom not getting the job done, fans who wanted a coaching change. Is that a realistic possibility, or is that just the byproduct of the season going wrong and he's still relatively early in his tenure there?
Well, he's in year 4, and there were high hopes for this year. I was on record saying I thought this team would be 8-0 headed into Georgia, and they lost the opening weekend against Vanderbilt, against Wyoming. Now, they did get back on track, and they were 5-1. So I thought, well, all you got to do is beat Vanderbilt and Kentucky, and you're 7-1. And they lost to Vanderbilt, who had just come off a beating against, who was it, Tulsa? I mean, whoever it was out in, it was UNLV. UNLV beat the snot out of them the week before, and then they beat Missouri. And UNLV's terrible this year. So, and then they go into Kentucky in a downpour with a terrible offensive game plan. They can't win that one. And then you're not going to beat Georgia. That's fine. You didn't even, like you went in with your backup quarterback and did not move the ball at all. Didn't score a point against Georgia, and your offense had you within a score in the third quarter, and you just never had any hope in that game. So, you know, Missouri, Barry Odom, there have been people clamoring for him to be fired since the day he was hired, because that's just what some fans do. I know you guys have experienced that over in Knoxville as well. But the reality is this: you start the season 5-1, and if you lose 6 games in a row and you cap it off with losing to the worst team in Power 5, that may be enough to put you over the edge. I would not anticipate it. I don't think Jim Sterk wants to fire Barry Odom. But if they lost to Tennessee and they're, I think, a 7-point favorite, and then they capped it off with a loss to Arkansas in Little Rock, that may just do it.
Mm. TJ, last thing for you here. We'll let you run, and it just feels like these are two teams headed in separate directions. Tennessee fans feel good about the way things are going right now as opposed to the way the season began, and Missouri fans kind of the opposite. What's your gut tell you on how things may turn out Saturday night in Columbia?
I think Missouri needs 3 or 4 defensive touchdowns, and they'll be in really good shape. There is a little bit of bad blood, I think, and I don't know about between the teams and all that, but you know that Missouri has won this game each of the last 2 years 50-17, and Missouri was up 50-17, and they had their backup quarterback and they're throwing to try to score again as time was expiring last year. That tells me these guys don't like each other much. And then you add that to the offseason where Jeremy Pruitt was calling Missouri players when the ban came out and stuff like that. I don't think these guys like each other too much. I actually had Barry Odom on my radio show on Monday. I asked him if there would be a brawl between Barry Odom and Jeremy Pruitt on the Tiger Head in the middle of the field. He said Tennessee's a good football team, so he didn't want any part of that. But, so that's, obviously all this said in gesture. But truly, I don't think they're big fans of each other. He's never said that to me, privately or publicly, but the actions by each coach here tell me I don't think there's going to be a whole lot of rainbows and lollipops during the game on Saturday.
All right, good stuff. You can follow him on Twitter at TJMo28. He's with 590 The Fan in St. Louis. TJ, thanks so much, man. Appreciate you jumping on.
Thanks, fellas. Anytime. See ya.
TJ Mo making his presence felt this afternoon. Not a lot of confidence coming from the Missouri side of things.
No,
he said they need three defensive touchdowns to win the game.
Yeah.
That's not happening.
No.
I hope. Pray. Knock on wood. If that happens, we deserve whatever happens to us. Stay tuned. The Drive, Fan Run Radio, back with more right after this.
Pipe and smoke it. The Drive.
All right, Rocky Top Report brought to you by the Craigner Group. Let's get Trey Wallace in here from the Tennessee football practice field where the Vols wrapping up day two of Missouri preparations, game week preparations. Trey, what'd you see out there?
Hey, guys. To hear you all, looked like the TJ Moe interview went well. Hope you guys can hear me well. Can you?
We got you, man. Go ahead. Trey, you there? All right. Well, that didn't work out. I understand that Jarrett Garantano was taking the first-team reps in the work that the media was able to see earlier today, so that's good.
Hey, buddy. Back with you.
I understand. Hey, Trey. Trey, you with us?
I'm trying to move Parkins. I am with you. I am with you.
All right, go ahead. We'll get him on later. All right, that is Trey Wallace with your Rocky Top Report. I'm seeing some things on Twitter. You want some nuggets, Bear? I got some nuggets for you.
Hit me.
Garantano took the first team reps in the portions the media saw. Darnell Wright was back with his ankle heavily taped, working first team.
So they didn't do the Super Saiyan string surgery on him to get him back quick?
Evidently not. I don't even know if that is that an option. Like if
he's got a high ankle sprain,
if you're 350 pounds, or like it's one thing if you're Tua and you're what 210.
Yeah, but I will opine that it probably looking back on it wasn't a good idea with Tua. I mean, not that the surgery was bad, the fact that he wasn't ready to be playing. I don't think.
Well, you are the doctor. I will defer to your judgment.
Thank you, sir.
Toto and Batuli are banged up. They looked to be fine, according to multiple reports out there circulating on your interwebs.
They ever say what Toto did in the
I think he just took a shot to the knee.
Just probably sore.
Yeah.
Maybe a little flex.
I mean, it was bad enough during the Kentucky game they took him back to get an x-ray, but obviously it was negative as he came back and played. And sat out last week, but he looks to be back at it.
Can you believe he's already cemented his name in legend around here?
Toto?
Yeah.
Why?
At third down play.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I mean, it's up there with, was it Charles McCray and was it I cannot remember off the top of my head who stonewalled Kentucky on that four downs inside the five up there when we beat him.
Hopefully tip of the iceberg with him, man. I think he's going to be really
special.
Really good. Bryce Thompson was back participating. He is working on a injured meniscus that may need surgery after the season. I almost wonder if you got to have meniscus repaired, you just go ahead and do it.
Well, I mean, there's
he's out. With, he would be out for the bowl game. He would be out for the rest of the season.
It's second time, right? Go ahead and give it to me.
All right, quickly, doctor.
The problem is, Russ, is there's two things you can do about a torn meniscus.
You can repair it or remove it.
You can repair it or remove it. Please step back. Yes. If you remove it, you can get on the field in a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
If you repair it, it takes several months.
Yeah.
The problem is, if you just take it out, long term, that's not real good for the player. Mm. I'm pro repair, anti removal. That's it. I'm out. Got to go do rounds.
Thank you, doctor. That is the Rocky Top Report. It's brought to you by the Craigner Group. If you're looking to move, if you're looking to sell your home, if you're looking to do anything in the real estate market, well, you need to call my guy, Bo Craigner, over at the Craigner Group. He is a real estate expert. He's been doing real estate locally here in East Tennessee forever. He knows the market like the back of his hand. And you can call or text him anytime at 865-742-1035. He'll talk to you for free. A consultation doesn't cost a dime. So what have you got to lose? What are you waiting for? Call Bo Craigner and the Craigner Group, 865-742-1035, or just go online to BoKnowsHouses.com. Bo Craigner and the Craigner Group. Real estate the right way. Stay with us. Hour number three of the drive. We apologize to our callers who have been hanging forever. We're going to do the top five with Jake, and then we're going to go wall to wall y'all for the rest of the show. Just bang out as many calls as we can. How about that? Sound good? Sound like a plan? All right. 865-546-8200. Your number. To get on the show with us, we're back with more from the Truly Hard Seltzer Studios of Fox Sports Knoxville coming up next.